scripture readings this morning are taken from Philippians 1, 18 through 21. What does it matter? Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true, and in that I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that by my speaking with all boldness, Christ will be exalted now as always in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. And then from our gospel reading, Romans 8, 20 through 25. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Isn't that a wonderful song? It tells us where our hope is. You know, it's said in the English language, love is the most abused word out there, but hope is the second most abused. Because sometimes we really don't say exactly what we mean with what our hope is. There was a man approaching a little league ball game, and as he walked by the dugout towards the bleachers, he asked a little boy there, he said, how you doing? What's the score? And the little boy said, well, it's 12 to nothing. And the man said, well, I bet you're a little discouraged. And he said, why should I be discouraged? We haven't even got the bat yet. That's hope. That's what you get from hope, you know. Someone, maybe that's good expectation and hope for the future, and it's positive thinking. Someone said there is no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. And I asked you this morning, those of you online and you here, finish this sentence. I expect to, you just to yourself, I hope to, or I hope for. I think that all of us have certain expectations and about hopes in our life. And some of them pan out and some of them do not. But without expectation and hope, we'll never get out of life what God means for us to. And we won't be able to obtain that happiness he means for us to have. Hope we will get to please our Heavenly Father. You know, some of the greatest Christian hymns written is about hope. My hope is built in nothing less. Or Rock of Ages. Oh God, our help in ages past. The one that was saying it's one in all my hope. And of course, one of my favorite segments in Christ Alone. I think that in certain situations, sometimes we all get kind of down, but we have to reignite the hope that we have in a positive way. And hope is a very popular word in the Bible, too. Now, the King James Version, the word hope appears 130 times, but the implication is there many more times than that, probably as much as others. And if you take all the popular translations, the more popular translations of the scripture, there are 316 verses that have the word hope in it, 199 in the Old Testament and 117 in the New Testament. And And that leaves out a lot of the Gospels. If you take the Gospels is full of hope. Hope in Jesus' words. But it's only one time in Matthew that the word hope appears, one time in Mark, three times in Luke, and twice in John. But in Jesus' words, there is hope. There is hope. It's the underlying foundation behind it. Then we jump into the New Testament. We hear about, read Paul's epistles. If you read Paul's epistles, hope is an important part of it. And I want to talk about hope this morning because so many people are losing hope. So many people are feeling like it is a hopeless situation out there. Folks, it's never hopeless with God on our side. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, as Paul wrote, "So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. But the second is hope." You got to have that hope. Romans 12:12, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And also Romans 2:5, it talks about, Paul talks about freedom, but also he leads into hope. And the scripture that was written, that was read this morning in Romans 8:25, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." You know, in the 8th chapter, Paul starts out talking about freedom and he switches to the second half of the 8th chapter to hope. He reminds his readers that those of us who come later and us even today and those to come after us, of our hope. The hope that we have as Christians is a hope that can what? Withstand persecutions. The hope that Christians have is one that is can withstand natural disasters and tornadoes and downturns and economic downturns. And the hope that we have is one that we should have in Christ our Lord, to trust in him and in God the Father. Our hope is a hope focused on a relationship. It's focused on that relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father, instilled in us by the Holy Spirit. We trust in him. Sometimes we have a conception that people who approach life lighthearted, that maybe in a manner that they don't take life too seriously, that they don't take things seriously. And maybe they have a hope that we don't completely understand, or a faith we don't understand. And if we knew and understood the reason for the hope that they professed, then their actions would be make more complete sense to us. But we think that they approach life with a laissez-faire, or don't worry, be happy, or a Hakuna Matata attitude, you know, about life and approaching it. But there is more to it. There's more to it, to the deepness of the hope that each of us have and how we trust through our faith. Peter told the Persian believers in his first letter, it said, "Always be ready to give a reason for the hope you profess." So what is our hope? What is your hope in? All our hope. Our hope, what is it for? All too often is pessimistically defined as the little boy said, "Hope is wishing for something you know ain't going to happen." And I have to disagree with him. Hope is not wishful thinking. Webster's dictionary defines hope as to cherish a desire with anticipation, to want something to happen or to be true, to desire with expectation of obtainment or fulfillment, to expect with confidence, to trust, to have faith in something or someone. Without faith in the Lord, and the expectation and hope of better things, we cannot find happiness in our life's journey. Because life is a journey. It has a beginning and an end. and there's no escaping it. The only way to escape the end is Christ comes back. We have a joyful end to it. We must live by faith in order to have hope for tomorrow. Is that true? I think that's a true statement. We must have expectations and hope. I'd like to share with you a story that Dr. James Dobson, focused on the family, tells about, and he wrote about this article after his interview with Dr. Stephen Hawking, and who was an astrophysicist, I don't know, tongue-tied, at Cambridge University and was considered one of the greatest minds in our nation. And it goes on to talk about him and what he did. And he's accredited. Dr. Dobson said he was advanced in the general theory of relativity farther than Albert Einstein, farther than anyone since him. And Hawking was afflicted with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And he became very weak. He couldn't feed himself. He was in a wheelchair. He communicated through a computer, if you might know. But let me tell you a little more about his life. He said, Dr. Hawking said that before he became ill, he was very interested in life. He called it a pointless existence. And he said it resulted in sheer boredom for him. He drank too much. And he did very little work. And he said, in many ways, I was lazy. Then he learned that he had ALS syndrome. And he was told he'd have about 2 years to live. Well, he far exceeded that, as you were. He passed away in March of 2018, and he was born in 1949. So he exceeded that 2 years. But he said, something happened to him. He said the ultimate effect of that diagnosis, beyond its initial shock, was extremely positive to me. He said, to have been happier after being afflicted than I was ever before. Now, how can we understand that? How can we understand, after being afflicted with ALS, for him to make a statement that he was happier than he was before? He provided the answer. He said, when one's expectations are reduced to zero, one really appreciates everything that one does have. That's a true statement, isn't it? But he goes on. He said, one of the key things, I met Jane Wild early on, right after my diagnosis. She became my wife. We had children. And he said, my family and my wife was my support. And he said, I have been lucky that my condition has progressed more slowly than in often cases. But it shows that one needs not lose hope in a greater power. How true that is. You hear those words? One does not lose hope in a greater power. We do have hope for a better life in Christ. We do have hope here and now. And Jesus even instilled some of that hope. In Matthew 11:28, when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We will never experience a perfect life. We must realize that. Because you know why? We don't live in a perfect world. And because of Christ's life and his death on the cross, and we just went through Easter, and a lot of people, we don't put him up, but a lot of people will put, well, it's kind of like Christmas and Easter. You know, once they happen, you know, the next Sunday, well, we've got other things to do. And we forget it. But all our hope is in Christ Jesus because of what happened and we celebrate these last couple weeks, our hope is in Christ. And the only way we can have that hope is through our faith. Life without Christ is a hopeless end. But with Christ is an endless hope. Let me repeat that. Life without Christ is a hopeless end. But with Christ is an endless hope. There's always hope in Christ, hope for a better day, hope for a better life, hope for a better everything in Christ Jesus, our strength. And Paul stressed that in his writings, in Romans and the scriptures read today, and also in positive attitude. Paul's expectations was one of support and one of hope. Support from one another, support in prayer. As he said, "For I know that through your prayers and the help driven by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out to be my deliverance." See, the verses and many more tell us in a way of how to establish and support one another in the expectations of the spiritual strength that we have from our Lord is found in our faith and our hope. The expectation of honoring Christ, and I could go on. In verses 21 and 22, he mentions hope several times. For me to live in Christ and to die is gain. And the expectations of good work and assisting and doing what needs to be done. In our text, Paul speaks of a fruitful labor. As long as he has in the flesh, he says, he is to go about to serve Christ and to share Christ's love and word. And he says, he expected and hoped that his labor would not be in vain, that it would be served for a purpose of hope. The story of a little boy that was a young man. He was on a ship, and they were going from the U.S. to Europe. And a bad storm come up, and he was sitting still, looking through a window and focused. And the storm was pretty rough. And one of the crew asked him, said, "Aren't you afraid?" He said, "No." He said, "Through that window, you see the bridge. And there on the bridge is my father. He's the captain. He's the captain that guides us. And I trust him. Because my father is the captain, he has taken us through many storms before." You see, the storms of life call us to trust in Christ and God, our Heavenly Father. It calls us to trust because we have hope. Hope in him, not in anything else. Faith in God sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. That is the hope. That is the hope that Paul was talking about. That is the hope that Christ talked about all through the Gospels. Throughout his writings, Paul declares Christians have a unique relationship. And see, it's about a relationship, and it's what God wants with us, a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Our hope becomes more secure because of the relationship that we have with God. Where's all our hope? Paul writes about it. In the midst of persecution, people were dying, and people were talking about their faith, but they were being persecuted. And those people, he writes, "I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy of comparing to the glory that is about to be revealed to us in the future." And Paul wrote those words to the people at this time, but also those words still stand out today for the ones who have lost loved ones, for the ones who have gone through fires, the ones who have gone through sad times, and for those who are going through difficult times, and those who are struggling, and for those who are struggling in the midst of war. We look around us, and we know that things aren't what they should be. Even creation groans, according to Paul, and waits to release the curse that is upon it. But our hope exists and is sound. One of the characteristics that sets Christians apart is that we are a people of hope. And our faith gives us that hope, and the faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the hope that empowers and transforms our lives, that takes gloomy days and make them bright, that puts smiles on people's faces. We are able to feel peace and contentment in our lives because of this hope. It is a hope that shines in the darkness to bring light when we're discouraged. And folks, everything is going to not go in life the way we want it to. So don't get discouraged about it. We make the best and go on. Just imagine that maybe God has something better in store for us when we're not happy with the situation the way it is. And we don't understand what God has ahead for us, but through our faith and our hope and trust in Him, there are brighter days coming. Even if we have medical problems or we have down times, or we get upset with our neighbors, or we get upset because things are not going the way we want to at our work, there is hope for brighter days. The hope that empowers and transforms our lives. This is our hope. And we are invited to live with that hope today. We are invited through Christ to have the hope. We are a people who walk in freedom, but also who walk in hope. No one can take that hope away. And Christ alone, all our hope is found. When we trust in Christ instead of ourselves, when we trust in God instead of our government, We know things are going to be okay. Because I read the last chapter and I know how it turns out. Don't you? Our hope is in Christ. Amen? Our hope is found in Christ alone. When we are weak, Jesus is our strength. In every circumstance, we can praise and worship God because He fills our hearts with that hope. But also, it relies on us to support one another in prayer, in strength, and coming to church. Hey, we are a family, are we not? The church is a family. And whatever happens to the family, you support it, don't you? Too many times there are too many breaks because they disagree in relatives and in families. And I get saddened when children get upset with their parents and refuse to speak to them. I have a cousin whose son got upset with them because of something that the father did. He bought a place on the lake and bought a boat and spent a lot of time there. And the son didn't like it, and he hasn't spoken to his dad in over 10 years. Little things. Does that make sense? It didn't make sense to me. But we get upset over things. Air them out. Talk. And folks, we don't live in a perfect world. But we do live in a world that can bring hope through the faith in Jesus Christ. In Christ alone, we find true peace. You don't need to be afraid because Christ is with us. Jesus has suffered in our place. Jesus has paid the price. Jesus has done what no other person on earth can do for our righteousness. It is the key and the answer to all our hope, our faith in Him. In Christ alone, you are ransomed, you are healed, you are restored, and you are forgiven. In Christ alone, all my hope is found. Amen.